This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Rach?
Yes, lady.
Okay, listen. We cover a lot.
Oh my gosh.
There's nudity. We talk about your nudity on screen.
Oh, so much.
We talked a little bit about my nudity, which is, it's weird to even think about that now because knowing how I feel about my own nudity.
Yeah, you're never nude.
I know, but to think that I did what I did.
I know.
It's like, whoa, that was bold.
This is one of my favorite podcasts, though, that we've covered. I don't know why.
Oh, I thought you just meant true story. It's like, this is one of my favorites.
No, that's what I mean. Well, it is one of my favorites.
This episode? This episode is one of your favorites?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
I don't know. It just feels like fun and really good. And
listen, I did really lose it at some point during this. I had a moment that I was like, oh no, I can't talk anymore. I can't get back on track.
We both stopped and it wasn't really that big a deal, but it just really killed us.
No, it's so dumb.
Stop saying that.
Rachel,
I don't like that.
This All right. actually deserves it.
You guys watch. Email us.
They listen.
Call in.
They listen. Okay.
And tell us.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Bombshell, the Hedy Lamarr story. Rachel.
Oh, Shirley.
What's up, Buttercup?
Oh, lady.
Lady.
We're heading into Thanksgiving weekend.
We are, although I don't know when people will hear this because...
Well, that's just where we're at, right?
This is when we're recording it.
Well, listen, I had a great weekend with my boys.
Great.
I'm excited because I get to see you a lot this week.
Yes, we're doing Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And it's not a Friendsgiving. It's the real deal.
It's the all our families, your family, my family.
We got 31 people. Hi.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Do you think I was up all night chopping apples for some reason? I have this grand plan that I'm going to make all these tiny little pies. We'll see. Listen, Rach, we have...
Do you still want me to bring pie?
Oh, well, we can talk privately.
Okay, because Henry and Otto are very excited about the pies and the dog run.
Yeah, I made a dog run at my house, which is really just a ditch in my backyard. That's a drainage ditch. It doesn't have a pipe or anything, so nobody needs to worry. And it doesn't really rain in LA, so it's not full of water.
No.
It's just going to be a little ditch full of dog poop that Rachel's boys love to run around in.
Oh my God, they love it. It's such a gift to them. I'm like, if you guys behave,
you get to go
to the dog,
run. And then they find all the dog poop and scream when they see it. And it's going to be a great Thanksgiving.
You're welcome,
You're
listeners.
You're welcome, America. Rach,
yeah.
I say let's jump in.
Okay.
Because this
let's do it.
Story is, there are a lot of layers. Okay, Rach, today we are talking about Bombshell, The Hedy Lamarr Story. It's a 2017 documentary directed by Alexandra Dean, featuring interviews with Hedy's family and those who knew her. It tells the story of her double life as both a glamorous actress and a gifted inventor. Yeah. Bombshell premiered at Tribeca and is available to watch on Netflix.
Whew. Wow. First of all, we have identical stories. Have lived parallel lives.
Yes, because Hedy Lamarr was an actress that people felt was so beautiful. They could not see her other talents. And you have that cross to bear every day.
Exactly.
You get up
every
and you're like,
single day.
You look at the mirror, you're like, holy shit, my looks are holding me back because people only see my beauty.
I'm just like, stop looking at my beauty. I have so much more to offer. But I mean, so many similarities, Cheryl. Single mother, 17 husbands.
Single mother.
So many starring films. Austrian.
First of all,
built
you're
a mansion
Austrian.
In Aspen.
Okay.
I mean, we've had hard ships.
And good ships.
If I'm really being honest.
Please, for once.
You have more of a glamorous life like Hedy. You can probably relate to her a little bit.
Okay. I can tell you that I do relate to her. Not on the beauty part, but do you know what else I'm going to tell you?
On the inventor part.
Yes!
I know. You guys, you don't know this about Cheryl, but Cheryl is always coming up with ideas.
That is true.
And ways to make something different. At one point, she had a baby bottle because when she had her daughter, Kat, she was so annoyed that these big bottles had to go into the diaper bag. So she thought of a collapsible baby bottle that you could, like, why can't you just take the plastic and go and like make it flat?
Rachel.
And then when you want to use it, open it up and put milk in it.
I designed it and filed a patent for it.
She did.
But then I was too busy as a mom and an actress.
And as an actress, you were working.
Because they were like, okay, you need to, you know, you got to quit your job and do this.
Yeah,
and I said,
full time.
By the way, I'm on a show called Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I can't quit my job. And I'm a mom.
And you're a national treasure.
What if I told my business manager, I can't do this because I'm a national treasure?
But listen,
they were panicked. You know, nobody wants to hear that you want to quit your acting job when you're on a show because you have a great idea for a collapsible baby bottle. They don't want to hear people. Mm-hmm. People don't want to hear that.
But listen, Cheryl, I just am going to say, you could have billions now.
Yeah, I could be sitting
It could have been knocked off and over and over and over and over and over. And somebody right now that's listening to
They're
this podcast
it
is like,
as we speak.
I'm doing it.
They're doing it.
Because guess what?
What?
Your patent.
Expired.
Boom. And I thought of you and I was like, oh, Cheryl's baby bottle idea.
Dang it.
God, she's fucked.
I was very distracted through this whole documentary because I was like, whoa, Hedy Lamarr and I are so similar.
You are. That's what made me laugh, though, too, because that's why I started with me. Like, I was like, it's me. And I'm like, it's actually you. I thought of you and Susan Yeagley, too, that people just get so distracted by your beauty. I'm like, they're very smart.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Now I'm snorting. Oh, no. Rachel.
You're welcome.
No. Okay.
Oh, it's adorable. Stop
it. The movie opens with a quote from Hedy Lamarr. Any girl can look glamorous. All she has to do is stand still and look stupid. Wow. I don't know if
that's
true.
That worked, we would all be glamorous. Listen, Hedy she's very smart and a bright woman, but that was an interesting way to start the documentary.
Yeah.
It made her sound crazy from the jump. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, God.
You're like, lovely.
I mean, every comedy person that started to watch that documentary was like, flip. Let's go. Let's go to a different one. Let's like change the channel.
Flip.
Oh my God.
Rachel. Hedy Lamarr always wanted to do something with her life, but she was always judged by her face. Same.
Yeah. But many, many women are. It's true.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. I know
we talked about Cindy Crawford before, but she is so stunningly beautiful.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to her, all I do is stare at her face and her features. And I'm like, how does she look like that? And is that normal? And how many people in the world look like that.
Are you trying to tell me, though, that Cindy Crawford, you and Cindy Crawford are now best friends? We're
very, very close.
Because she's really beautiful, she and is. That makes me feel
great. Cindy Crawford insecure. Could not pick me out in a lineup.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Keep talking.
Hedy Lamarr was supposedly, and I believe it, the model for Snow White and Catwoman.
Yeah.
And Mel Brooks, okay, how cute is Mel Brooks in this?
Oh, my God.
When you see him pop up on the screen.
But he's really not even a huge part of the documentary. It's literally like just funny color commentary.
I guess the only reason he's on it is because he named a character Hedy Lamarr after her in Blazing Saddles. But they really used him as much as they could when they're like, oh, here comes Mel Brooks chiming in.
I love that there's one reaction of him after they've said something kind of significant, and it's just him going, what? That's crazy. And then they move on. But it's a really satisfying what? That's crazy.
Yeah, because he's got a completely different delivery than everyone else in this film. It's a dramatic story that we clearly...
Yeah, how did they get him?
I don't know.
Well, maybe it's because he said when he saw Hedy Lamarr for the first time, he said, I'm going to marry her. I'm going to go to Hollywood. I'm going to find her and I'm going to marry her.
And then later they go back to him. And then he says something that I don't think one could say today because he said something like, and if I can't marry her, I'm going to sit next to her and feel her up under the table. It was something along those lines.
Yes.
But he was kidding.
I
was thinking, oh boy.
You were thinking Mel Brooks just got Me Too.
Yeah, I was canceled. Like that people would not. That's, you know, it's not funny.
But it should literally be like a grandfather clause.
I think he got grandfathered in. Listen, Larry David gets grandfathered in. Larry David does some crazy balls shit.
Does he, Cheryl?
I don't know if you've ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO.
Never. I was on it and Mel Brooks played my boss. I was his assistant. Boom.
Oh, shit.
Callback. That's right. And I loved him. I fell in love with him that day.
Do you have a picture of you guys?
I don't. Of course I don't. Rachel. Because it was before camera phones. No, but he said the great story about Mel Brooks is that I shot with him all day. I was so nervous. It was amazing. I called you the night before. We shot 2 days and the night before I called you and I said, I'm going to get fired.
Yes.
And you laughed in my face. Yes. You're like, Larry makes everybody feel that way. And then the next day, work with Mel Brooks. I couldn't believe it. We go out to lunch. It's outside where the catering is. Mel Brooks is walking around in his shorts, no shirt, just his belly, hairy chest out, walking around, so happy. And then I get wrapped. And then I went over to him and I said, listen, I want to tell you, it's an unbelievable honor to get to meet you, let alone work with you. It's a dream of mine. And I said, and also, I love your wife, Anne Bancroft. She's, I just gushed. Yeah. And then he said, oh, you're sweet. And then he kissed me on my cheek. And he said, it was so great to work with you, too. And then he said, I'll call you tonight.
But you knew he wasn't going to call you because he didn't have your phone number.
I knew.
Exactly. And there you have, I'll call you tonight.
That's why we got I'll call you tonight.
Okay, Rachel.
Yeah, okay.
Wendy Colton, her granddaughter, remembers that Hedy was always working on her autobiography. In her 60s, she became a recluse. And there were layers of scandal to Hedy. She had multiple marriages as well as arrests. I didn't know if she had multiple arrests. I only remember the one.
I just thought it was the one.
Her family feels her story hasn't been told. So in 2016, this guy named Fleming Meeks found some tapes behind a recycling bin.
Crazy.
In his office. And they were interviews that he had done with Hedy. And so he dug them out and then he did a whole story in Life. Wasn't it Life magazine?
I remember him saying, huh, I bet this would be interesting.
Yeah.
Like I have tapes of her.
And it's cool because we do get to hear a lot from the tapes.
And she doesn't sound nutballs in the tapes.
No.
She's just very matter of fact.
Rachel, we got to take a break.
Listen, we really got to hydrate.
We apologize if any of Hedy's family is listening because we have not done...
Cheryl, they get it. It's a comedy podcast.
Understand.
And they're like, believe me, we've heard it all.
Yeah. And by the way, I have an interesting story about the name Hedy when we get back.
Wow. That sounds pins and needles. I can't wait.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Okay, we're back. Slightly interesting story about the name Hedy.
Okay.
Not that it has anything to do with Hedy Lamarr, okay. But you know, I went to beauty school.
I sure
and
did.
And when I went to beauty school.
Cosmetology school.
We had to buy a mannequin head that has this long hair.
Bring it.
And then, you know, throughout the course, you're cutting it, you're perming it, you're dyeing it, all the hair. But I had to bring this head with me everywhere I went because it was expensive. And
that's a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment. I mean, like, episode in and of itself. You just casually walking by.
With my
like
head.
Getting into your car with the mannequin head with hair.
Her head was always on the seat next to me. But her name was Hedy. Oh, you're welcome.
But why did you name her Hedy?
You know, I must have heard.
Oh, because she's a head.
Rachel.
It was a head.
God. Rachel, are you
it was
kidding?
A head.
It took you.
No.
Okay, you just like put it together in front of everybody.
I did. And you called her Hedy. I did. I put it. Yes, Cheryl. Listen.
Okay.
Everybody's brain works differently.
It works differently.
Mm-hmm. I'm not embarrassed.
Not embarrassed. Okay, so Hedy's parents were wealthy and cultured. They were Austrian Jews. Hedy went to a private school in
Wait a
Vienna.
Minute. Stop. Stop everything.
Yes?
When you're at cosmetology school and you've walked away from something and you're setting up another station.
Yes.
And your hands are full. Do you turn and look to your friend and say, hey, will you grab Hedy?
Yeah. Yeah.
And bring her over?
That's exactly what I would do. Everybody knew Hedy. I mean, most people named their heads.
What were some of the names?
Oh,
do you
for
remember?
Ball's sake. Listen, I can barely remember my own head's name.
That just sounds so wrong on so many levels. Like, hey, you guys, don't forget Hedy. Will you grab Hedy for me?
Yeah,
Hedy. Yeah, Permanent Hedy.
Yeah, Permanent Hedy.
You know what, you guys? I'm giving Hedy a blowout. I hope I pass this test.
That's right. And some of our exams would be with your head.
Ugh, you guys, I'm going to fail this perm exam. I forgot Hedy.
Yeah.
Can I borrow your head?
By the way, nobody would let you borrow their head.
No.
Because that was like...
What was the most popular hairstyle you guys were working on? Like, what were you like wanting to do? What year was it? Tell me.
That was like 1984. It was definitely...
84?
Yeah, I went.
Were you in high school when you went to cosmetology school?
I graduated high school when I was 17 years old. So I started cosmetology school when I was 17 years old.
Oh, wow. You are so old.
Oh, I thought you were going to say smart. I thought you were going to be like, whoa.
No, you guys, this is where I go into the bit, and it's the only thing that makes me feel good is that Cheryl's older than I am.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, perms. No, we were doing perms and jerry curls. That is what we had to learn. That's what we were learning. Rachel, I'm just telling you. Rachel, I'm telling
you. I'm speechless right now.
Yes.
I've stopped.
Yes.
I've stopped.
Okay.
I've stopped talking. How many people did you give, not Hetty, but how many people did you end up giving Jerry curls to?
Well, only one. Only one.
Yeah. And then they were like,
They were like, please, God, no. I don't want her. I just by looking at her, I know I don't want her.
They're like, please. She's the whitest woman on the planet. Yes. Get her the fuck away from my black hair.
We had to make deals with people. It's just like, please, can I please do your hair? And I will, from now on, my friend over here will take over anytime you come back. It won't be me.
But you probably gave a dynamite perm.
Yeah.
That's not very convincing.
Well, perms were tricky. They were both very tricky. Jerry curls were also tricky because of the chemicals are so harsh. If you leave the this processing gel.
I just want you to know you are never giving me a perm.
No.
You don't even know what
products. If you leave it on too long because it softens all of your, you know, your strands of hair.
You are a professor of
and
hair.
And then you put another process on that makes it bond again around the.
Didn't you just recently like give your stepson blonde hair?
During the pandemic.
He went from black to blonde. Yeah. How'd that go?
He was very pleased. I didn't want to do it.
Okay. I remember. Well, you called me because you were
you're
like, I'm terrified.
I was forced to do it. And he's this a really good looking.
He held a gun to your head and was like, give me blonde tips.
Yes. Anyway, Rachel, back to
Hetty Lamar.
Well, let me just finish the perm situation. If you left the process on too long, the whole rod of hair would break off and fall into the sink.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if I've told you this, but I have a friend who would call that a pocket perm because if the whole rod of hair fell into the sink, he would grab the rod and put it in his pocket before the client could see that their hair had fallen out. Okay. Okay, this is very important. Okay, back to Hetty. Okay, Hetty grew up in Vienna. She was Jewish. She was in Austria. Her favorite subject was chemistry. And this is all very important because of the timing of this whole story. When she was 16, she walked into a film studio and was quickly cast in her first role as a walk-on.
Yeah.
Okay, this is 1933.
Good God.
It was a movie called Ecstasy. That was her breakout. She appeared naked and was denounced by the Pope.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a weird day for the Pope. He doesn't have other stuff to do besides...
How did the Pope get a screening?
And how does that come up in a conversation for the Pope? Was he like, guys, I've got something to say about Ecstasy.
Guys,
don't watch it.
Wow. But I wonder how many people were with him when they screened it. Just saying. You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay. We won't get into. Listen, Peter Bogdanovich is also in this.
Oh, and side note, Cheryl played Peter Bogdanovich's wife.
That's true.
And didn't you have to kiss him?
I think I probably did. I mean, I don't think it was like a, you know.
It wasn't like a makeout kiss. But I mean, it was something we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, okay.
It's just like,
great.
It's another day at work.
Yeah.
He recalls that was the first stimulated orgasm on film.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay. Fritz Mandel.
Oh, God. Here we go
for
again.
For ball's sake.
You're wearing your glasses, so I don't know what's wrong.
I guess it's an L or capital I. No, an L. Mandel.
I mean, let's just take another 10 minutes while you try to figure out this
Was
name.
The Henry Ford of Austria.
I love you.
A 14-year-old Hetty senior and allied with the Nazis manufacturing arms. So this is when it gets like
dark.
But from here on, it's just like unbelievable.
Just goes downhill from here, guys.
They got married, had massive country house with 25 bedrooms. They went hunting. Hetty soon became bored being Fritz's arm candy. You know that feeling. Yeah. Fritz was obsessively jealous and tried to buy all the copies of Ecstasy.
Yeah.
And they just kept making more copies.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't.
Just to make him mad.
He couldn't buy them all out.
Let's just say he had a hard time being in acceptance that his wife was in that movie.
He couldn't get there. As Europe headed for World War II, Hetty's beloved father died. And there were legends about Hetty finding a look. Okay, this was crazy.
Oh my God, I have no idea what you're going to say.
This is when you're like, holy balls, what's happening in this story? So,
Oh, yes.
So Hetty's married, right?
Right.
She hires...
She's tired of being arm candy and like, I've got to get out of this, but he's super controlling.
Yeah. So she hires a lookalike maid. She gave her a sleeping potion.
Yep.
She stole the maid's clothes and escaped her own house on a bicycle.
On a bicycle.
And she made it to the safety of England in 1937. I mean...
There's a logic leap there that they didn't really fill in, like from the bicycle to England. How did that happen? But we just moved on. It's like she just went from the bicycle.
Because this was also...
She was in London.
She also...
Okay.
She sewed her jewelry into the lining of her... Of the coats.
Yeah.
That's maybe where she got the money.
I don't know.
Okay. Hetty saw the MGM lion in a movie.
Yeah.
And she was...
And she was like, I want to work with that lion.
She did. She did sort of say something similar to that.
She did.
I want to work with that lion. And she met... Okay, is it... Now I'm embarrassed. Is it Louis or Louis?
Who cares?
No, Louis. Louis B. Mayer. Okay. Who was going to Europe and he was grabbing... I mean, using the word grabbing, but...
Right. He was buying up. That even sounds
that
bad.
That sounds bad. He was tapping.
He was acquiring.
As Tig likes to say, he was tapping talent. He was discovering talent that had escaped Nazi Germany. Mm-hmm. And he offered her $125 a week on the condition that she kept her clothes on.
Yeah.
I get that a lot, too.
Yeah. I don't.
Rachel.
I don't get that.
I
get $125 to take my clothes off.
We've got to take a break.
And I do it.
I'm going to Google.
Because I've got children.
I'm going to Google you nude on film. You have been nude on film.
Oh, yeah. Several times.
Tell us. Well, remember, didn't you do something with...
Oh, in We Need Help?
Okay, no. In We Need Help.
Like, you directed it? I was in a
you
hot
were
tub.
You nude in a hot tub.
I mean, I look like I'm nude, but I'm not nude.
But you and Rob...
Letterman?
Cordry?
Oh, no. Rob...
No.
Hubel.
Hubel.
Oh,
you
Jesus
and Rob
Christ.
Hubel run... Don't you run naked on a beach and we see you from behind? Am I crazy? You run naked with somebody on a beach.
That's in a movie that I have coming out that we can talk about because the strike is over.
Okay, we're going to talk about it.
Mother of the Bride. And that's my stunt double that runs naked on
Rachel,
the beach.
Rachel, I thought it was you.
Because I was sick in Thailand, remember? I was super duper sick, so they had to. But that's all our stunt doubles. Like,
they all do the naked
work. That was like Brooke Shields is, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually saying this movie. Brooke Shields, Benjamin Bratt, Michael McDonald.
Are you
Isaac,
saying all these people are nude
Wilson
in this?
Cruz?
They have nude stunt doubles?
We all are. We're all like six friends. And we're all high school friends or college friends. And then we all run into the beach. And on that note, we can wrap up the entire podcast on that.
I know. Okay, we got to take a break.
No, I'm kidding.
Although I have a question. Okay, I'll take a break. We'll be right back. No,
take a break. We'll come right back.
We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have?
or the friends you find along the way. Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, we're back. So,
yes, do it.
And you don't have to answer this. And you might not know the answer.
Okay.
But when your body doubles ran naked into the water, were they really naked?
No. I mean, but that's the thing. When I ran into the water, I started with like stick-on bra covers that covered my nips. My bibs and bobs.
Oh, bibs and bobs.
My bibs and bobs. And then I had on like thong underwear. And then we run, when you run into the ocean, like we had to dive into the ocean and then jump back up and hug each other as husband and wife. Both of us were totally naked. There was no, the ocean just like
the ocean
pulls
doesn't
it
care.
All off of you. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ocean doesn't care. Ocean's just doing
oceans
what the ocean
don't
does.
Care.
No.
I did a pilot with Deborah Messing.
Yeah.
A 1,000 years ago. Called Right Versus Wrong, and we were two political pundits.
Yes.
I really liked the show, but
yeah.
But I had to do a photo shoot where I was supposed to be naked. And, you know, doing the photo shoot, it was really, like you're saying, just like two stickers over my nips, and then like a weird stick-on pube coverer.
Oh, oh God, that's so gnarly. That's like really not the way
Thomas
to say that. You could just say something that covered my bottom lady parts.
Okay. Well,
I just want to hear that laugh back on a loop a couple of times. I guess something that covered your pubes. Covers your pubes.
By the way, that's also
and I'm shocked
a Merkin.
That you said
I know.
It and not me.
I didn't think it through. Okay, listen.
But we have to, you've done substantial Merkin work.
I have done some Merkin work. Okay, listen. We've got to get back to Hedy Lamarr. I mean, we're really taking up all of her time and she's... Okay, let's
we're
skip ahead
the scenic
a little
route.
Bit. She becomes a big film actress.
Star. Yeah.
People love that she's so very beautiful. You know, there are some odd things that happen, right? So she got married and she adopted a son.
Yeah. Oh, this part is
I know, hard. Dark and...
Yeah. She adopted a son and he was acting out a lot. She said he was very unruly and having a really hard time. And so the coach at this private boys' school that he was going to took him under his wing. He and his wife, right, took care of him. And then he said to Hedy, would you be okay if I go and lived with this coach and his wife? They'd like to take care of me. And she, wasn't it her granddaughter or something that said she was so sad, but she said, yes, it's okay. Then they referenced it later in the film saying, we think that that's when everything started to go south, was once Jimmy asked to leave.
Yeah, and by the way, Jimmy is in this documentary.
Is in the documentary, which was amazing, James. And he was,
oh, James.
He was very
you know,
sweet.
James?
Well, that's what it said on the log line.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Hedy is a very smart, sounds like genius type of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was fascinating was her invention notebook that her son had.
Yeah.
Because she really wanted to, I guess, I don't know of a better word than kill Hitler. You know.
Yeah, that's what she said. She's, in the documentary, she says, I wanted to kill Hitler.
Yeah.
She was obsessed with getting him and killing
him. And she was watching the war unfold right from the United States. Mm-hmm. And she never mentioned to anybody that she was Jewish. So she had to disassociate with her religion, which I think probably also, you know,
was very painful.
Very painful. And can, you know, I mean, you probably start to wonder what's real and who am I and all of those things.
Yeah.
But she was doing... It sounded like a radio tour, didn't it? She was on a phone as an actress. You know, she'd press a button on the phone and she would go to another interview. So she thought, oh, this is interesting that I am on different frequencies, that I can go from this broadcast or interview to the next interview. So these different frequencies are happening. So then she thought, why can't I come up with...
Why can't we do that with like a
missile?
Yeah, with missiles, and that they can
keep controlling
use different frequencies.
Keep controlling a missile, because once you fire it, at that point in time, they didn't have a way to control it after you fired it, because your enemy could also hear the frequency and know what you were doing with the missile.
And then jam it. And they would call it jamming it.
And so she said, what if you keep changing the frequency so quickly that they would never be able to figure it out? And
There's another relationship that comes in where she meets this other guy that's this really avant-garde musician.
Yes.
Right? He plays...
George Antheil.
Okay. If you say so. It's... And he plays player pianos. And he could program the player pianos. And he was also a musician that, honestly, when I heard that music, I was like, that makes me feel so anxious, I can't even handle it. Like, it's jazz thrown in with like weird, crazy stuff that just pops in. And I just was like, I don't ever need to listen to this music.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because she mentions Howard Hughes. She didn't marry Howard Hughes.
No,
she
just dated him.
They
became good friends, and they had a lot in common. Otherwise known as, they had a lot of crazy in common. No, probably no. Just interested in.
I like that he said he would take her around to his factories.
Yeah, yeah. I think they just like to see how things work and create inventions and things like that, which is actually kind of cool.
Oh, to be a fly on the wall with those two. Okay. So at some point when this happened, and this guy George, they actually went to the government somewhere. They went to the military?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a word for it, but I'm not sure what it is.
They went to, didn't they go to D.C.?
Yeah.
To like the Pentagon or something
exactly
like that.
I don't know exactly who they talked to. Right. And they pitched the idea.
They pitched it.
And they were basically laughed out of wherever they
were. They said, do you want to put a player piano on a torpedo?
Yeah. No thanks.
And they kept it.
They kept the patent, but they said, Hedy Lamarr, you get on the trail and start selling war bonds. That's how you can be helpful.
Yeah. And isn't that crazy?
She
sold the equivalent of like what today would be like $343 million in war bonds.
Yeah. I'm not even sure I know what a war bond is.
I don't either. No, it just sounds, it's just like something to help the war. Like support the troops.
Support the troops. Just, I guess, give...
People call in or email. We don't have a phone call, but we don't have a phone call. We don't have a phone.
You can
email us,
though. You can reach us at truestoryfanmail.
Yeah.
@gmail.com. If you know anything about war bonds, what they do.
Do you get a return on your investment?
Oh, I think that's right. Okay. Here's what I think they are.
Okay.
And you tell me if this sounds right or not.
Okay.
So they'll say, do you want to buy a war bond for $500? Mm-hmm. And then when the war is over, we'll give you $550.
Oh, so you collect interest on your war bond? Okay. Yes. Yeah. We're getting our official Thomas is giving us a heads up.
Yeah, he's like, yes, it's something like that, but I'm sure not exactly.
Actually, he was vehemently shaking his head like, yes, finally you got something right, girls.
Okay, you know what else she did? I really appreciated that at some point in her life, Hedy thought that everybody should be able to experience a Coca-Cola.
Yes.
And even the troops. And she invented a little tablet.
Yeah, a tablet that was fizzy. Mm-hmm.
That you could put in water and it would make your own Coca-Cola. However, she didn't know that every region has its own, what was the word?
Water source?
Let's say water makeup, like chemical water makeup. Mm-hmm. So so it didn't really work, but I loved the idea.
I know. I love the idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her fifth husband was Howard Lee. Oh, okay.
And yeah, and she got married to him and then came home and told Tony, her son, his name was now Tony Lee. He was like, okay, do I know this man?
He's like, all right, and we're going to Texas. Yep. All right. And then she got bored being a trophy wife, and she started creating an Austrian-style ski lodge in Aspen. Also know the feeling.
Yeah.
When you get bored, just create a ski lodge.
Cheryl, that's your next adventure.
And Hetty was caught up in a messy divorce. It didn't work. That marriage did not work.
She kept working and then getting into dire straits. And working and getting into dire straits.
Yes.
And it feels like she kept trying to find a husband, right? God bless her. She believed in the sanctity of marriage. It's like, just get a boyfriend.
Sanctity.
My God. Yes. Why does she have to keep walking down the aisle and getting married? I guess
she loved getting married.
She loved the idea of the romance. I get it. But wow.
But here's what happened. This is like, this was when I was like, whoa. Okay, so now she's going through a messy divorce with Howard Lee.
Yeah.
And then.
And he's an alcoholic and it's rough. Yes.
And then Tony, her son, was in an accident. And she was supposed to be in court. So she sent her body double.
Her stand-in.
And I guess it didn't go over well with the court.
Yeah.
By the way, I would have liked to have seen the reaction.
Look on the judge's face. Yeah.
When Hedy Lamarr was a huge star.
Yeah.
And for the stand-in to walk in.
Yeah.
I just am like, what?
Yeah.
Didn't go over well, Rachel. And she didn't get everything she wanted in the divorce settlement.
No, she did not. And I just think the balls on that woman to be like.
She had big balls.
Yeah, she had some big lady balls.
There was something about like the idea of a body double.
Yeah.
Listen, she took that idea and ran with it. Okay, so there was a doctor named Dr. Feelgood that was injecting celebrities with.
What seemed like vitamins, right?
Yeah, he said vitamins.
Right. It was meth. They said it was meth, like basically.
It's funny, not funny, but I guess Cecil DeMille had a heart attack on the set of The Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
If I'm recollecting this correctly. And so they called Dr. Feelgood, Max, his name is Max, to come and check on him. And while he was there, Cecil told him, by the way, can you give Charlton Heston a little something because his Moses is too lackadaisical. he says that in the documentary.
I love it.
Moses is too lackadaisical.
That's what we're going to have to say from now on. I'm going to say, Cheryl, I need to have some coffee or some tea because my Moses is too lackadaisical. Ugh, my Moses is too lackadaisical.
So the reason that they mentioned it was because they were saying that Hetty also saw Dr. Feelgood and now was seemingly on something.
Yeah. Well, she had already been doing that. Like when she was working, when she was a young actress, they were already giving them like sleeping pills because they'd work. Mm. They'd work them. It was before we had a union and everything, right? And so they would work them long hours.
Yeah.
And then in order, then they, to calm down, they'd give them sleeping pills. And then to wake them up, they'd give them speed, basically.
Although they called it pep pills.
Pep pills,
which
right.
Which is so much cuter.
Who doesn't want to take a pep pill?
I would love a pep pill.
I drink like a Celsius, and that's like a pep pill. But people in my life are like, you're not drinking those anymore. Stop. Those are so dangerous. Please call in. Let us how you feel
but
in
you
about
can
Celsius.
Write in.
But you can write in at truestoryfanmail.com.
At Gmail.
And tell us what you think. Like, what's your pep pill?
Yeah. What's your pep pill? Okay, Rachel, winding it down.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know where we are in time, but
we've
got to be.
Oh, lordy. I feel like I'm 40. Remember when we used to say that?
And we thought it was funny when we were 25.
So funny.
It's like, oh, that's so funny.
We'll never be 40. Oh, God. Get ready.
Okay. By the 60s, Hetty was kind of a caricature of herself. And she started getting plastic surgery when she was in her 40s. No judgment.
No judgment whatsoever.
And she sort of invented her own.
Yes. In the documentary that they show, that she was like, This is where I want you to do. I want you to pull, put the scar behind my ear.
Yeah.
And then, what was the other one? Oh, in her arm.
Her crepey arm.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the arm procedure.
You're going to walk into a plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills and say, give me the Hedy Lamarr.
Give me the Hedy Lamarr.
But early Hedy Lamarr.
Early Hedy Lamarr,
because it kind of got to...
It went sideways.
It went sideways.
Yeah, at some point.
She went too far.
She started to look like whatever happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah, Rachel and I have a pact with each other.
Yes, we do.
That if somebody starts looking crazy, we say, look... You can't do that anymore. Whatever you've just done, please don't ever do it again and stop.
And I don't think that's necessary.
Please don't. You look insane. Nobody else will tell you, but I'm here to tell you.
Yep. And
And then at some point around this, I don't know what the time of it all is getting to be now, but
it's all a blur.
She was arrested for shoplifting at a department store.
Was it a Dillard's or a Macy's in LA. Or a?
It was something. It was May's or something.
May Company. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Then people started making fun of her, and
well, I think
she became a recluse because she didn't want people to.
Yeah, I think the through line was that she was, you know, the drugs were taking a toll on her. That's like what her. Granddaughters and son were saying is that she just started becoming so erratic in her behavior as she got older. And they were like, we didn't know who we were going to get based on what she was taking.
Right.
And so from what I got from it, and I could be wrong, and I frequently am, but I feel like she was just really struggling with addiction toward the end of her life. You know?
Yeah, and it sounded like addiction and... You know, we hear this story a lot with, especially, I think, stars, right? People that are in the public eye that that are adored because of their beauty. And then when their beauty starts to fail, people don't adore them anymore. And then they lose themselves and they don't know who they are because that's who they thought they were.
This idea that we think they should look this way, right?
Right.
I mean, it's so crazy that we don't support people and as they age, you know, we just want people to always look young. I struggle with that. I'm like, I don't want to look older, you know, but why? Why don't we want to embrace that?
Right.
We have difficulty embracing the aging process and it's really
too
bad.
But I'm fine with other people getting older.
Yeah.
If I look at somebody, I'm like, she looks amazing. I like her wrinkles and expression lines.
Yeah.
I don't need to see them on my face.
Exactly. I think that's also the generation that we were raised in, too. You know, because it's like
hopefully
we grew up in
the younger generation.
I hope to
God. I mean, at least they're a little more body accepting.
Body positive. And
positive, that's the word. Seemingly.
Especially women and maybe men, too, are like, I mean, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful I have people in my life that want me to not be bone skinny, which was the way I was raised, was to be super skinny, you know, and that was what was attractive.
When we grew up, that was the, you know, it was
in the 90s.
Kate Moss. No offense to Kate Moss. She was probably born that way.
No, and it was that heroin chic. And it was really, really, I think for anyone that was pursuing an acting career or a modeling career, you were like, oh God. And you're a smart person. So you're like, I see what they're hiring.
Right.
This is what I think. I feel like you and I are empathizing with her.
Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult to be on camera and to not eviscerate yourself when you see yourself on camera. You know, like you have to really take a step back and be
it's so hard.
So kind.
Because if you've never like seen yourself on camera before, it is like if you have a tiny, tiny pimple on your face and you look in the mirror, that's the only thing you see. Like in real life.
Yeah.
You look and you only see the one thing that's wrong. And so when you're watching yourself on screen, it's like, oh God, all the things that you think are a little bit wrong, you're just, it's bigger than life and it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that we would never want our kids to think that. You know what I mean? Like when we think of our children, we're like, oh my God, you're amazing. You're perfect the way you are.
Right. I know.
Right. So.
God, we got a lot to learn.
Bigger topics.
Table it.
We got to table it.
Okay. Wrapping it up. You know, Hedy, at some point, it was clear that this technology that she had basically invented was being used. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to get paid.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. Mm-mm. And before she passed away, mm-hmm. they did give her
recognition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For inventing this technology.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet because her son was up there getting the...
accepting the award.
And she called him during his speech. And she said, "How's it going?" And he said, "I'm actually in the middle of it right now."
So sweet.
I love that moment. But yeah, so to this day, that particular frequency hopping is used in GPS and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Bluetooth?
Oh my
no
God, don't.
Please.
You can't. You just said Bluetooth. We've said Bluetooth for the past 15 years, Cheryl.
Well, is that the plural?
Meant like for Bluetooth.
My face is hot. Yeah,
I know. Bluetooth. You're starting to sweat. She is.
No,
she's broken.
I wish you guys could see. I have flop sweat because I said Bluetooth.
I know.
I mean, is the plural of Bluetooth?
Bluetooth, blue teeth? I don't think so. I don't think it's blue teeth. I think it's Bluetooth. You only. That's just making me laugh really hard.
Oh my God, I can't recover. That's hurting my. It's hurting myself. I just hurt myself. Okay.
That's okay. I love that you really are shaken by it. That's making me laugh even harder right now. She's crying. You guys, she's grabbing her eyes.
It's stupid. Oh my God.
Don't say that about my friend.
Okay.
Don't say that. I say the dumbest things all the time. And this is all I say to Henry and Otto right now is we don't say stupid. We don't stay dumb. And
no.
Here we are. Hi. Don't listen to your Aunt Cheryl. Don't
Sometimes
listen to your
it is
godmother.
Stupid. Okay. Gotta pull it together. And
okay,
sadly, mm-hmm. Eddie passed away in 2000.
Yeah.
Rachel, are you ready for final thoughts?
I sure I am.
Please. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I didn't cry, but I was very moved.
Same. Mm-hmm. I didn't cry. But towards the end, where she did get recognition for her mm-hmm. work, and it meant a lot to her son, that was... Who were you attracted to?
I legit forgot that question comes up.
I have to say, there was a picture of Howard Hughes as a very young guy that was like,
I'm not
going to
say
so
what I'm thinking right now. No.
Uh-oh. Oh, that he peed in jars? What? Is his name not Howard Hughes?
It is. It is. It's just what you're attracted to. You have a pattern. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
You are powerful people that are very, very smart.
Oh.
And funny.
Yes.
And passionate.
Yes. Were you attracted to anyone?
I don't think I was really attracted to anyone in this.
Peter Bogdan.
Oh.
No.
I would have been attracted to, Mel Brooks, just because I love him. You know?
I know. Mel
I love
Brooks.
Funny
I
people.
No, Mel Brooks. Okay. Rachel, would you like to do a true story talk back? Do you have anything to say?
I do. Just hearing her story mm-hmm. and everything that she goes through, having the weight of the world on her shoulders and being a single mom and trying to make all that money, you know, trying to keep everybody afloat. And I was just so impressed with her. And this is the thing that made me cry, is when her granddaughter, I think it's her granddaughter or her daughter even, was mm-hmm. saying, you know, I have a lot of empathy for my mom.
Oh, that was her
daughter. Think she went through an awful lot. And she's like, of course, nobody understands really what she went through. She's like, but I like to think that she was dealing with a lot. And it sounded like she was forgiving her, that she loved her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that,
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, powerful. That's great. Like, that makes me happy.
Yeah. I would like to say one thing to the universe. Oh, it makes me so mad. Why did it take so long mm-hmm. to acknowledge that Hedy Lamarr invented something amazing and hugely significant?
Thank God it happened at all.
Yes. And why is that not part of what kids study in school?
The history books, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did only men are involved in history?
Oh, somebody's...
Rachel, don't get me started. I'm fired up.
I know. Well, things are changing, which is great.
That's true. The pendulum is...
Yeah.
I won't say swinging. It's just like moved a half a centimeter. But I was really glad for this documentary because I was glad that I found that out about Hedy Lamarr. I had no idea.
I think it's so fascinating to watch, regardless of how you feel about it or whatever. But I really enjoyed it. And I thought the filmmakers made a really beautiful film. Oh, my goodness. Can we please talk about what we're seeing?
Yeah.
Okay. Thomas has his dog.
Thomas.
He just brought it up.
I think.
Oh, it's a boo-boo.
This dog looks. Yeah. If I had to guess how old Thomas's dog is, I'm going to say.
1, 2, 3, 14.
13. She's 4.
What?
No. She has a gray muzzle.
She's 4.
I know. She looks old.
She's like the Anderson Cooper of dogs. She went gray really young.
Thomas, oh, that's hilarious. That hurt. That really hurt. Okay.
Thomas, Jet.
I'm glad she can't hear you right now.
I know. Jet.
You don't look a day over 5.
The entire podcast, we've been talking about beauty and aging and all that shit.
And we're not just judging.
Shit just on your dog. We just were like, your dog looks old.
Your dog's gray. Okay. That's all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll talk about Escaping Twin Flames. It is a cult docuseries on Netflix. Rach, before we go, would you like to read some true fan mail?
I would love to read some true fan mail.
Pam writes, hey, ladies, hey.
Hey.
Can I just say that being a massive football fan, listening to the two of you talking about football, cannot call it soccer, made my ears bleed. But my heart happy due to all the laughter. Absolutely hilarious, you pair of numpties. I have to say, I've never been called a numpty before. Consistently brilliant podcast.
What is a numpty?
Maybe. I can gather it's a numbskull. Okay. Consistently brilliant broadcast. Rachel, a great addition, and the two of you are joyful together. Cheers to you both. Pam from Spain.
Spain is in the house. Yeah.
Spain is so beautiful. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you so much, Pam.
This is from Sadie. Hi, just wanted to say how much the podcast means to me. I am a fellow hypochondriac. Give me a second to figure out what that word was.
I'm so excited.
Who quite regularly gets anxious about things that could happen. I just listened to Murders, and hearing Rachel discuss the exact experience I have was incredibly validating, but also really hilarious. This podcast makes me laugh every time I listen to it, so I just wanted to say thanks for all the laughs. The podcast is amazing, and I love you both. Oh, Sadie.
Sadie. Oh, I'm so glad that we have similar
experiences.
You've
got the Rachel.
Yeah, that makes her, but it makes her feel good, you know, like to
right.
be.
She's not alone.
Boom. That's going to be the name You're of something alone. For me. Because it's like, my thing is like, I just don't want you to feel alone in your feelings.
Yeah.
You know?
If whatever you're feeling, Rachel is feeling it double.
I felt it.
At any given moment of any day.
Sure. I will empathize the shit out of everyone.
Bring it on. Also, everybody, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at truestoryfanmail@gmail.com. We love reading your messages, comments, reviews. Keep letting us know what you think about the docs and leave us a review, and we might just read your response on the show. I just want to say hi to Aiden because we liked looking at our Instagram. You guys should follow us on Instagram. Yeah. But I saw that Aiden... Rachel, I don't know if you know who Aiden is. This is a listener, and he's always vacuuming.
Hi, Aiden.
Yeah, hi, Aiden. But I just love that he just commented on something. He's just the best. Anyway,
aww.
Hi, everybody. And that's all we've got for today. We'll see you next week.
And we'll call you tonight.
We'll call you tonight. True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Rachel Harris. It's produced by Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Steph Willen, with production assistant from Nadia Labetz. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story wherever you get your podcasts. You can email us at truestoryfanmail@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.